message is entitled The Case for Biblical Baptism. The Case for Biblical Baptism. We do not baptize children. We do not baptize children. But in the New Testament, it is a rite or a formal initiation into the Christian church through water. And it is regarded by many Christians as a sacrament. Amen. It's an ordinance. Baptism is not a joke. Baptism is a serious ordinance. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, persons professing Christ as Lord and Savior were immersed in water and are still immersed in water as a public confession of their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And this is accomplished in direct obedience with the explicit mandate that Jesus Christ left us, his disciples, in Matthew chapter 28, from verse 16 to 20. Now, when the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, that is after his resurrection, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all, not some, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He stood there with authority. And he said, in other words, the authority that has been given to me, I am now handing over to you. Go. Somebody say go. The church has got to go. You and I have got to go. We've got to go. The command is go. Go. Therefore. And what? Make disciples. Make disciples. It is the key word there is make. Make. Everything that you are putting on today was made. The microphone I'm holding was made. You and I were made and are still being made. We are still in the process. None of us is complete. That is why if baptism is still relevant to you and I. We are still in the production line. Go and do what? Make disciples of all nations, not only from Canada, not only from Rwanda, not only from Kenya, not only from Uganda, not only from Cameroon, not only from the Dominican Republic, but from where? From of all nations. Doing what? Baptizing them in the name. When you are baptized, you are baptized into something. Hallelujah. You are baptized into something. In the name of the Father and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Deep stuff. Deep stuff. Next Sunday, we'll go deeper into this, but today is preamble. To make it simple, water baptism is an outward sign that we have been cleaned on the inside. Hallelujah. Water baptism is an outward sign of an inward working. Amen. To make it clear to us, it's like a wedding. It's like a wedding. We are being wedded. Wedded or wed. You can correct the grammar later. To Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When a wedding happens, what happens on a wedding? We see people exchanging rings and vows. Now that ring, that ceremony is an outward sign of something, of an inside work of love. These people are exchanging love to one another. And we around here are witnessing that which has already been done on the inside. You cannot bring two strangers from the street and wed them. You can't just, come. No, it has got to be in the inside. Hallelujah. That's why you cannot baptize anybody who has not had an in working work of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. That's why if infants cannot be baptized. How many of you were told that you were baptized as kids? Your parents took you to baptize as kids. Yeah, Catholics, all. That was not baptism at all. That was something similar to baptism. baptism is an outward sign of an inner working work. So you didn't even know your name by then. You were just an infant. How could you have been baptized? How could you have received Christ? Hallelujah. The word baptism is not an English word originally. A Greek word, baptizo. Baptizo, that's where it comes from. It emanates from the word baptizo. And the word baptizo means to dip under. Under. To sink. To make fully wet. You've got baptized. Make them fully wet in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You've got to be drenched. You've got to be sunk. You've got to be dipped in the name of the Lord, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To immerse. Baptism means immerse. To properly submerge. Hallelujah. On Friday, when I'm baptizing people, I will have to ensure that they are fully submerged. Hallelujah. If possible, I will baptize myself again. Amen. Baptizo is the antithesis, or it is the opposite of the Greek word antexomaia, which means to sprinkle. So when my father and mother took me to that Protestant church, I don't know where, it was in Kilembe, I think, Kilembe, Western Uganda, and they said, I was baptized, I was just sprinkled with water. And let me tell you, that is not baptism. That is not baptism. Those are traditions of men. It's not biblical. They are human traditions. Through the traditions of men, many baptism came into existence against the original form. Pouring water on the head, sprinkling with a few drops on the forehead. Now, there are two reasons why this happened. Number one, this was not like that, but it happened because people began to wait for long before they can be baptized. They would wait till late, and when they were about to die, then they would just bring, because they were not able to walk towards the water, much water. So they would bring water towards them, to where they are, and they would sprinkle them with water. Being too late. Some risk dying before getting to a pool of water sufficient for total immersion. So a compromise of sprinkling began to occur. This was referred to as clinical baptism, and it was most especially prominent in North Africa. Emperor Constantine in 337 was baptized on his deathbed by Eusebius of Nicodemia. You see, this king waited for so long to go to much water. So because he wanted to be baptized, what did he do? They had to improvise. They had to improvise and bring water to his deathbed, and they would sprinkle him with water. And that's how that sprinkling began. And everybody, you know, took it on. And the second reason was the beginning of baptizing infants. New Testament, we do not have any report of infants being baptized to secure their salvation. It's not there. Go and read it. Go and come through. You'll not find it there. There is no divine command or apostolic example or inference that would sanction such a procedure in the Bible. It's not biblical to baptize children. That's why we don't baptize children. What do? We dedicate them to the Lord until a certain time when they are of age to decide for themselves, accept Jesus Christ and be baptized. So, Augustine took the position that infants inherit the sin of Adam and Eve and therefore are born sinners and should be baptized soon after their birth. Now, there are opposing views championed by some guys who claimed that infants were born without sin and became sinners when they were able to understand right and wrong and choose wrong. And at that point that they should be baptized. Unfortunately, Augustine convinced the bulk of the church, which accepted his view. And that's why baptism, infant baptism, has been, continues to be. But we don't do that. Hallelujah. We do not have the authority to change God's word. No one has that. Human governments may have that. They may change laws to conform with the will of the people. But in God's system, men must conform to the word of God. Hallelujah. We have no authority to modify God's word to accommodate our convenience. Sprinkling of water is a result of convenience. Hallelujah. And we cannot practice that. So, true baptism is the antithesis of human traditions. Colossians chapter 2 verse 8 warns us about human traditions. Colossians 2:8, you have it? See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. According to what? To human tradition. According to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. You hear that? Let no man do what? Deceive you and take and make you captive of philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition. The Amplified says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception or pseudo-intellectual babble according to the traditions or the musings of mere men, following elementary principles of the world rather than following the truth or the teachings of Christ, the tradition of men. Human cleverness often attempts to improve upon God's word instead of accepting the fact that we are complete in him. That's what Colossians 2:10 tells us. What does it say? And you have been fulfilled, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. That's where our fulfillment comes from. Therefore, I want to pose a question. Why be baptized again when I was baptized as a child? Do you think, after hearing that, you need to be baptized again if you have never been baptized by immersion? Why do I need to be baptized again if I was baptized as an infant? The simple question is because you were never baptized. The simple answer is because you were never baptized. You were just sprinkled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You were never baptized. You were never immersed. We said baptism, the word baptism comes from the word baptizo, which means immerse. You were never immersed. You were only sprinkled. Hallelujah. To be baptized, baptism follows a sequence. Baptism follows a sequence. Number one, the privilege of being baptized was given and continues to be given only to those who have, number one, believed in Christ. You've got to do what? To believe in Christ. How do you believe in Christ? You accept, you come to a point of knowing that you are a sinner. You is a sinner. I am a sinner needing salvation. Hallelujah. I have been walking in this direction and I have discovered that it's the wrong direction. Hallelujah. So what do I need to do? I need to turn around. The only motorway where you are allowed to make a U-turn is in the Bible. If you make a U-turn on a motor on M25, you will cause commotion. But in the spiritual world, the moment you realize that you have been walking in the wrong direction, you are allowed to do a U-turn. That is called repentance. Hallelujah. You cannot be baptized unless you have repented and believed in Christ. Hallelujah. Being sorry for what you have done and pledging to turn away from what you have been doing. Hallelujah. And you take it further. You have to orally confess with your mouth that you have believed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. The first time we see baptism in the Bible is when? When? When John was baptizing. Matthew chapter 3 verse 1 to 2 says, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. What was the message before he baptized? Repent. Repent. This morning someone needs to repent. I don't know about you. I need to repent. Christians these days do not repent. And yet we sin every day with our eyes, with our mouths, with our hearts, ears, whatever. You don't have to do it. You just have to think it and you have sinned. That's what Jesus said. Check out a lady passing by you. You don't have to engage her. You just have just the thought. You have already done it. Look at that sister who sits on the opposite side of the aisle. Feel like she wants to say, I wish you'd drop dead. Just thought about it. You haven't killed her, but you have done it. What went wrong? We cannot connect in church. Hey, my God. Oh, I worship you. And we are raising, you know, holy hands in this. We are about to get into worship. Before we get into worship this morning, we need to repent. Hallelujah. Yeah, repent. The message was, repent. Why? For the kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about Jordan were going to who? To him, to John. And what happened to them? And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Hallelujah. So baptism cannot happen until you have repented. Matthew chapter 3, 11. He says, I baptize you with the water of repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I. Whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will do what? Baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's another level of baptism. But right now we are still talking about water. The Great Commission. Jesus Christ in Mark 16, verse 15 to 16. What did he say? And he said to them, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever does what? Believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Acts 2:38. After Peter has, you know, and his team have after the Pentecost, he preaches and 3,000 come to the Lord. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of this Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of what? Of sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, the sequence is, you believe, you repent, and you orally articulate the words that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is what is recorded in Romans 10, 8, first, 8 to 10. Romans chapter 10, 8 to 10. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It is in your heart. Because if you confess what? With your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified. And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That is why as an infant you were never baptized. Because you could, number one, you could not believe. Number two, you did not have the propensity to repent. And number three, you could not articulate those words. I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So, number two, Baptism is to fulfill all righteousness. It's in obedience with God's will that Jesus Christ was baptized in the river Jordan by John. Jesus Christ himself was baptized. John tries to prevent him from being baptized. Why? Because he was baptizing sinners who were repenting. And he knew that Jesus Christ was sinless. But listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. 15. We'll go to up to 15. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. Wow. Why is Jesus being baptized? He is showing us an example that if I'm doing it, you ought to do it. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you and you come to me? But it was necessary. Jesus answered him in verse 15, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all somebody righteousness. So when, before we are baptized, we have not fulfilled all righteousness. It is obedience. It is obedience. It is obedience that we fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. If it was necessary for Jesus Christ to be baptized, what about you? What about you? Number three, the reason why you need to be baptized again is because, as I said earlier, baptism is by immersion in much water. How do we know? In John chapter 3, verse 22 to 23, the Bible says, after this, Jesus and his disciples went to the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Enon, near Salim. Why? Because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized. He baptized there in that place. Why? Because there was much water. A child cannot be immersed in much water. That's why those reverends had a small basin. Sprinkle the water, you know. You cannot. Another example of biblical baptism, apart from Jesus Christ, is the Ethiopian official. If we read in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40, we see Philip, you know, preaching to an Ethiopian eunuch. And after preaching to him, the Bible says that this man says, you know, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of that queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. Yes. And he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join his chariot. Go over. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked him, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. That's why you need to be guided in the scriptures, my friend. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began with the scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. He began to preach. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? In other words, he believed. And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went where? Down into the basin? No. They went into the water. It was much water. Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they had come out of the water, of the basin, no, out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on rejoicing. So you see, believe, repent, confess, follow righteousness, and be immersed in much water. Amen. The question is, have you believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If you have, you've been biblically baptized. Or were you just sprinkled with water? If some of us went into this baptism without even knowing what we were doing, that's why you need, the eunuch said, I do not understand. So if you understand and want to be baptized again, got the pleasure to do that on the 26th. January 2018. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next week, touch on meaning, the true meaning of baptism. Let's stand on our feet. Immersion. Baptism is by